Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Amen. Seven years ago, on Easter Vigil in 2016, I was at Christ Church Cathedral in Hartford. Much like tonight, puddles of cold rain gathered outside of the cathedral's bright red double doors, droplets doing their best to extinguish the flame of the vigil fire. I genuflected in the aisles as I turned and flipped the brass latch to the box pew and found my seat. Some part of me wondered what I was doing there, what was going on, and what my life had become. I'd never seen an Easter Vigil service before, nor did I fully understand what it meant besides the plain fact that it meant that Easter would happen tomorrow. What I did know was that I had been baptized. I knew that because I had a packet of dusty Kodak photos of my infant self, dressed in all white and in the arms of a pastor that I didn't recognize then or now. From that time forward, I didn't think much about God. I thought about late summer nights full of pickup basketball and capture the flag games that spanned the entire neighborhood. I thought about our annual harvest fair and whether my crush might want to kiss me atop the Ferris wheel. Then, later on, I thought about driving and what it might feel like to be a grown-up someday. But I never thought about God. And yet, by some strike of the spirit, here I was amidst the embers of the fire and the plumes of smoke cradled by that cathedral's cross beams that night and for centuries before that. Amidst Christ's body, I found myself. I nervously crept towards the kneelers at the altar rail, and I waited for the bishop to lay his hands upon my head for confirmation. Anyone who's been in this situation can relate, I'm sure, but these mere hands felt like the cathedral itself had been exhumed from the ground it laid upon and placed instead directly onto my head. Before the oil began to settle, I stood up, and my sponsor handed me what I only refer to as the extra special jumbo Book of Common Prayer that I have over there. When I open up the front cover, still it reads, "Michael, congratulations on this, your day of confirmation. I am privileged to accompany you on this part of your journey, which is only the beginning. I hope that this will be a resource and a companion for you wherever the Spirit leads. Father Curtis." Wherever the Spirit leads. I think about this phrase often. I think about its uncertainty, about the places that the Spirit indeed has both led me to and delivered me from since that evening in 2016. I wonder, too, how the Spirit is acting now in ways that I am yet unaware, wherever the Spirit leads. The phrase has a certain peculiarity to it, something that might sound ominous to the untrained ear, as if we are mere characters in some unfolding drama determined to a certain fate. And yet to the believer, it's not ominous, but audacious. It's a proclamation that we are in the hands of a God who has delivered us and that God will do it again. It is a proclamation that we must sometimes hold on tightly to hope. It is a spirit of hope that tragedy aspires to steal from us. And yet the faithful chorus endures that in times of trial there is a Savior. There is a Lord who is indeed concerned with us. Today we are blessed to be reminded of this reality and sequence. We've been reminded of the story of creation, that the birth of heaven and of earth, of land and water, of sky and dry land, of you and of me, are not the product of some mere impersonal and insignificant chance. Tonight we proclaim not only that God acted in creation, but that God saw it, and it was good. It was good. the Spirit led. And then the Israelites in trouble and under the soulless gloom of oppression, wiping sweat from their work-weathered brows and crying out, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness?" From anguish and abandonment, God delivers them. And a chorus of voices echoes, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Spirit leads." And finally, on this evening, we sit on that very fulcrum between death and life, between dusk and daylight. We find ourselves at the edge of the tomb together with the two Marys. We're left to wonder fearfully, joyfully, where will the Spirit lead? Again, we are at the critical point in the story where, as a people, we are left to wonder, will God indeed act in our lives? Will God deliver us, or are we forever shackled by suffering, left with life intended merely to be endured? This is the moment where the people of God must dig deep to remain hopeful. At this very moment, an angel appears to Mary's. As the earth beneath them quakes, those holding fast to mere shadows of life shake, and we are told that they resemble the dead. But from the disruption, the Marys emerge, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. He's going to Galilee. Go find him." And so the women, full of both fear and exhilaration, hurry towards Galilee. There they see the risen Jesus for the first time. Breathless, they fall to his feet, but he stops them. He says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me in Galilee, in the town that is forgotten and excluded from the marketplace, in the dead end, there I am. What Jesus is saying to us is not literally, "Go find me in Galilee." Jesus is telling us that he is categorically present in those places where hope is most fragile. In the formless void, God makes a way, creates life abundant, and says it is good. In the midst of oppression and broken spirits, God parts the seas and delivers God's people and says, "You are dignified." Hung to a cross, mocked, killed, and discarded in a tightly fastened tomb, with followers returning to the place of his death simply to remember and to grieve, God is there. Today, God reminds us, not for the first time, but yet again, that in a vigil's darkness, light does soon emerge. In grief's wailings, hope does soon emerge. In the depths of death and of evil's grasp, life and the truth of God does emerge. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me, and they will know that we are set free wherever the Spirit leads us. This evening, you all will renew your baptismal vows. Within the walls of this church, which have held the joys and the sorrows of you and of so many who have come before you, you will allow yourself again to be suspended in trust that God does deliver us. You will allow your spirit to be laid bare before the reality that Jesus is Lord and that God is not finished. At the cross, Jesus did say, "It is finished indeed," but he did not say, "We are finished." We reaffirm our vows because we feel a stirring in our soul, and we know that we must be revived and that there is much work to do. So tell somebody, and tell somebody to tell somebody, go tell my brothers and my sisters to go to Galilee, and to trust that Jesus is there. Jesus Christ is there, wherever the Spirit moves.